time for Dial a Doc. And with that, we're visiting with Dr. Tulliver. His topic today, foot health in conjunction with National Foot Health Awareness Month. Dr. Roland Tulliver joins us. Good morning, Doctor. How are you, sir?
Good morning, Dan. I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. Nice to have you with us. And for folks that don't know, Roland Tulliver, DPM. What's the DPM stand for, Doctor of?
Doctor of Podiatric Medicine.
Ah, all right. And with foot health this month, the month of April, tell us a little bit about what exactly is foot health.
Well, Foot Health Month was designed by or developed by the American Podiatric Medical Association as a way to basically keep people keeping their feet in mind. Oftentimes what we do is we get up in the morning after our shower, we put our socks and shoes on, and we forget about our feet until the end of the day when we take our socks and shoes off again. And then we realize, oh, wait, my feet might be hurting me or there might be something going on, and we don't even think about it until the end of the day. So our goal is basically to let people know that there are a number of things that can be done to help people keep their feet healthy for the rest of their lives. On average, we take about 7,500 steps a day. With Fitbits nowadays, we sometimes will try to extend that. But we have to keep in mind that over our lifetime, we will have walked over 200 million steps, which is about 110,000 miles or five times around the Earth. So that's a lot of pressure that we've put on our feet and a lot that we demand of our feet to be able to be there for us for basically our entire lives.
We use them every day. It's how we get around. I think, like you say, we take them for granted. I know there are a number of bones in people's feet. They're a pretty amazing part of our bodies. Can you tell us a little bit more about just what feet can do for us?
The anatomical structure of the feet is different than any other part of the body. I mean, we have to consider that the feet not only bear weight, but they allow us to adapt to different surfaces. They give us the stability to be able to climb, to be able to walk, to be able to squat, whatever it happens to be. And each foot contains 26 bones, 33 joints, in addition to the tendons, ligaments, nerves, the veins, and the arteries that course through there. So we have to take into consideration that when we take care of the feet as a podiatrist, what we end up doing are we're taking care of the orthopedic part. A lot of times we're doing the dermatologic part. We're looking at the neurologic part of the nerve system, in addition to even oncology. It may not seem like it, but just recently I diagnosed a patient that had a malignant melanoma, and the first place it showed up was actually in the foot.
You run into a lot of athletes that, I believe, plant a bigger name.
Fasciitis.
Yes.
Yes. Plantar fasciitis or heel spur syndrome is a very common phenomenon. A lot of that has to do with the fact that, number one, we stand on cement floors a good portion of our day anymore. So the shock absorption capacity of the foot, while it is tremendous for general purposes, oftentimes when we're on cement floors a good deal of the time or cement streets or, for runners that are out on the roads, that don't have like soft trails to be able to run on, then the feet then will take up a lot of stress. Every time we take a step, there's a 1.5 times our body weight that gets put as far as the pressure on our heels. And for runners, that's up to 3 times the body weight. So we have to consider that the amount of pressure and amount of force that gets put on the foot during those activities can be fairly significant depending on a person's body weight. So what needs to be done in those cases, we need to make sure that the person is wearing shoes that are adequate to give shock absorption, proper arch support, and as importantly as anything, is proper fit. Oftentimes people come in and their shoes are either a size too small or a size too big, and one of the things that we need to make sure is that the shoes are fitting properly, that the arch height is hitting where the arch is, that the ball of the foot with the shoe at that point is at its widest where it's going to fit the foot more comfortably, and that the shoe is deep enough that the toes aren't rubbing and that there aren't other areas of irritation developing.
And with so many people trying to get in their steps each day, have you noticed an uptick?
I have. I think one of the things, though, is that the patient that we see, for the most part, at least, once education is available and we give them the information, that they're much better as far as getting their shoes fitted. I know one of the things that we have found over the last decade, I would say, is that Medicare, one of the best things that they have done as far as the feet are concerned in foot care, is that they did develop what's called the Medicare Diabetic Shoe Program, which what we do is we then can actually fit patients once a year for what are called extra depth shoes, and typically they're dual density insoles, which means that they're super or more shock absorption available, and the shoes then will fit properly and prevent a lot of the problems that people can usually develop, especially those with diabetes. And what we find is that the patients that have what we call neuropathy or loss of protective sensation to their feet, you know, if they're wearing ill-fitting shoes, then they're much more inclined to develop problems. The other things to consider with shoes are the fact that typically most shoes, especially like a running shoe, if we're talking about athletes, running shoes have a midsole to them that is made out of a material typically called ethyl vinyl acetate. But it's basically a material that gives, like polyurethane, that will give some significant shock absorption. What happens, though, is that over time, those chemicals that develop that will eventually break down. So we need to make sure that patient's shoes are going to continue to hold the foot up properly and keep the arch support and also maintain the shock absorption. So usually we say either 6 months or 500 miles before changing shoes. If you're not doing as much activity, if it's a lighter weight person, then they can sometimes get, you know, a year out of those shoes. One of the things is with that material is that even if you're not wearing them, they're in your closet, that material will eventually start to lose its ability to provide the shock absorption over the course of a year, year and a half, even if they're not being worn, just because of the nature of the material and the way it breaks down.
Well, as people age, some guys will get a little more bald, maybe gain some weight, the hair turns gray. Feet deteriorate over time, don't they? At least the arch support?
They do. Your feet will get wider and longer over time, for most people. It's not unusual to have somebody come in and say, well, I've worn a size 9 my entire life. Well, once they're measured, which, you know, we will do here in the office very frequently, or, you know, a lot of the shoe stores that are servicing patients for their shoes now and actually fitting them, will use what's called a Brannock device, which is a measure for the feet. And, you know, we not only measure the length of the foot, but we also measure the arch length of the foot and the width of the foot to make sure that they're in the proper shoes. As we age, what happens is the tendons and the ligaments will start to stretch out more. The same things happen when women are pregnant. You know, the elastic tissue in the body then expands and it causes the foot to stretch out more as well. So somebody comes in and says they've worn a size 9 their entire life. We measure them. Oftentimes they're 9.5, they're a 10. It's always good to get measured. And the other thing is that with shoes, is that it oftentimes will depend on where they're manufactured. Certain companies will make a size 9 that is actually a size 8 in another company or a size 10 in a different company. So each time you try on shoes, you want to make sure that those shoes fit properly in the store. There's the old kind of wives' tale, I guess, for lack of a better description, that don't worry if the shoes don't fit in the store, they'll stretch out. Well, most of the materials nowadays do not stretch out. I always tell people if the shoe is not comfortable in the store, it's not going to be comfortable when you get home. So people need to make sure that when they fit the shoes in the store, that they are comfortable there.
With the type of shoe, whether it's more expensive or less expensive, how it's made, do you check the bottom of a shoe when somebody comes in to see how it's worn, to see if they have wear points that are more predominant?
Yeah, definitely. It's basically like doing another examination. Oftentimes we'll examine the shoes. It will tell us if the person's foot is what's called overpronating, which means it's flattening out too much, or oversupinating, which is a fancy term meaning that it rolls out too much. We look at the heel of the shoes because the wear pattern there will often indicate if one's leg is longer than the other based on the amount of wear that we're getting. The person's getting in the shoes can tell whether the person, if they're running outside a lot, if they're in, most of the time, you know, if we're running the roads and say the Freeport area, you know, we're always running facing traffic. So one leg, which is usually the left, will basically be down slightly compared to the right because of the grade of the road. So these are all things that we have to look at for the patient. Can also tell if the person is in need of what are called orthotic devices or specialized shoe inserts based on the patient's shoe wear, because if they're wearing out too much in the heel, then we can oftentimes put what's called a post in the orthotic device, which will then help to tilt the foot back in slightly and reduce that stress.
Interesting that you said when people run on the road, that roads are kind of peaked in the middle so that the rain rolls off. I've heard people actually will run half their run on the left side and then try to switch over to the right side to kind of even it out. Does that make sense?
Well, it's great in theory, but the problem that we run into is that, you know, you always want to be running facing traffic. You don't want somebody coming up behind you. There are just too many potential problems for getting hit by a car or truck that way. So, you know, so it's nice when, you know, people can run on the trails, like through Crate Park or up at the Jane Addams Trail or something like that, you know, just so that the surface is more even and there's less of a grade.
I'm sure it's very important to visit a doctor like yourself when things are going bad. But for some folks, just minor things, are there ways that you can treat your feet at home before they get too bad?
Well, sure. I mean, you know, we want to make sure that people are always keeping their feet clean, keeping them dry, making sure that walking barefoot is fine around the house for most people. If you're doing yoga or other exercises like that, that, you know, it's probably fine. But like if you're outside, we want to make sure people are wearing quality shoes that give them adequate protection. I know flip-flop season is coming up soon, and I will say that when you're talking cost of shoes, the cheaper your flip-flops, the more chance that you're going to end up with stress fractures or plantar fasciitis or tendonitis, anything like that that can develop. We see a lot of that starting in about June or July when people have started to wear the $2 flip-flops that they've, you know, they've purchased. Yeah, as far as doing things at home, you know, just making sure that the nails are cut straight across, doing things like checking them between your toes, making sure there's not anything like athlete's foot, looking for little lesions that could indicate, for example, a wart, you know, checking for nails that may have a fungus infection, if they start to become discolored, flaky, if they start to get really thick. Those are all things that, you know, we want to make sure people, if they do have that, that they get into the podiatrist and, you know, get it taken care of before it gets too severe.
With summer, you mentioned sandals and flip-flops. What about going barefoot?
Well, barefoot is fine if you're in the house or controlled environment. What I oftentimes find is that people that go barefoot outside, a lot of times we've had lawnmower injuries. We've had people that have stepped on a various number of things outside that have and left foreign bodies in the foot that we've had to take to surgery to remove. If we were on just nice, you know, nice lawn, if we were to say like out at Park Hills and on beautiful grass out there, Jeff probably wouldn't want us to be barefoot out there, but you know, it's a nice environment. Most of the time, however, you know, the surfaces that we're on and the, you know, we can't control what's in the ground, on the grass, on garbage or nails, whatever happens to be, you know, we need to keep our feet protected. So, you know, especially our patients with diabetes, we tell them that we want them to wear shoes as much as possible because they usually have a loss of protective sensation to their feet. So they could step on something and not even know it until, we'll say, a wound develops or it gets infected. I usually say, wear your shoes unless you're maybe at the beach or, you know, swimming or whatever it happens to be. You know, you don't have to wear like a really heavy orthopedic style shoe, but, you know, just wear something that's going to keep your feet protected.
Any suggestions for parents, Doctor?
Yes. Kids' feet grow fast. Very bluntly. You know, you've got the kids' feet, you know, oftentimes, you know, the shoes have to be changed pretty regularly. You know, always make sure you check the kids' feet. Make sure that there's an adequate room in the shoe. You don't want something too sloppy. Don't use hand-me-down for the most part because a wear pattern will have developed from the previous child, or you don't want the next child's foot to fall into those areas. I mean, they need to be newer shoes. You don't need to go out and spend $150, $200 on a pair of children's shoes. You know, we don't need, everybody doesn't need Air Jordans, but a good quality shoe, you know, should be probably anywhere between $25 to $50, depending on the style. But, you know, take care of your kids' feet. I mean, if we can take care of them when they're young, oftentimes we'll prevent a lot of problems when they get older.
I would imagine for all of us, including children, that getting your shoe fitted properly when you buy it is a huge advantage.
It is. You know, and a lot of the stores nowadays are, you know, we're in a self-serve nation. People go into the store, they put their foot on carpet that has different footprints on it and, you know, say, okay, well, you know, it looks like I'm this size. You know, you really need a quality fit. I mean, somebody like Brandon over at Brown's does a great job. He and his team, you know, there are other stores at Madison, Monroe, and Rockford that, you know, all do excellent job of fitting people for their shoes as well. So, you know, we need to make sure. I always tell people, I worked in a shoe store for 3 years in podiatry school. Three main things. Number one, make sure that there's at least a thumbnail's length between the end of the longest toe and the end of the shoe. And the longest toe oftentimes is the second toe, not necessarily the big toe. Make sure that the what's called ball of the foot fits properly, and that widest part of the shoe is basically at the widest part of your foot. And three, make sure that the arch height feels comfortably. If the arch feels like it's too far forward or too far back, the shoe is not fitting properly. So just those little three things oftentimes will give people an idea as to make sure that their shoes fit the proper way.
Some great suggestions. And you're not alone at FHN. You have a new provider in podiatry at FHN?
Yes, actually, I joined FHN in 2016. I'm actually going to be celebrating my 34th year in Freeport this year. And it's been nice that in 2017, Dr. Richard Bell joined us, came in. And then just this year in February, we had Dr. Saida Rashan join us at FHN Podiatry. So we are now up to three podiatrists to consider that there are a lot of feet in the area. If we have 50,000 people in Stevenson County, we count Monroe and parts of Winnebago, Boone County, Joe Davies County, hundreds of thousands of feet to be able to be seen. And, you know, so it's nice to have the extra help to be able to see these patients on a regular basis and try to keep people's feet healthy.
I should say so, and take all those people and then multiply it by their 2 feet.
Exactly.
If people have questions or concerns, doctor, about their feet, where can they find out more?
Well, the obvious spot to go initially is FHN.org, and you can go to the podiatry section, and you can be information for all three of us. In addition, for appointments, there is the number for podiatry, which is 815-599-7150. We are at the Burchard Hills Family Care Center, Fairway Drive, and then we've got to look also at all three of us also see patients at the Center for Wound Healing over at the old Stevenson Street office across from the hospital, and that number is 815-599-7410. And there we take care of, you know, all kinds of wounds, which, you know, Scott and I have talked about on numerous occasions, and we want to make sure that people keep their feet healthy. They're the only two you get for your lifetime, and we want to try to make sure that they get you where you want to go.
Some great information and a nice conversation to Dr. Roland Tolliver, DPM at FHN and Dial-A-Doc today. Thanks so much for joining us today, doctor. Hope to talk to you again soon.
All right. Thank you, Dan, and you have a great day.
I will. You too. Thank you.